I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
We bless thy name, O Lord, thy goodness we record. We tell thy great and wondrous love, we publish it abroad. We look to thee on high, we praise and
thank you, Chorale, for reminding us of that comforting truth. God is in control. And thank you, my friend, for tuning in to the Voice of Hope. It's our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged, inspired, and better equipped to live for Jesus as a result of listening to this program. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you join me as we study a portion of God's Word together. Today, we're returning to our study in the book of Daniel, so I hope you can stay with me. But before we read the scripture portion, here are the men to encourage us with their song.
Oh, when I think of how he left his home in glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself the question, who am I?
Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Ever since sin entered the human family, the ungodly have tried to destroy the people of God. Cain killed his righteous brother, Abel. Ishmael mocked Abraham and Isaac, and his descendants have been in almost constant conflict throughout the millennia. Esau hated Jacob and wanted to kill him. Likewise, his descendants, the Edomites, refused to let Israel pass through their territory on the way to Canaan, and they later rejoiced in Israel's downfall at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, tried to subjugate and then annihilate the people of Israel. The Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC and led most of the population into captivity. That's the setting for our study in the book of Daniel. The Babylonians were followed by the Persians and then the Greeks. Then in 70 AD, the Romans smashed and burned Jerusalem, wiping out Jewish control of the city, with brief exceptions, for about 1900 years. In the Middle Ages, the fires of the Spanish Inquisition consumed the lives and property of untold numbers of Jewish people. The 19th century pogroms in Tsarist Russia snuffed out many Jewish lives. In the 20th century, Hitler's rise to power culminated in the Holocaust, where millions of Jews and others were systematically exterminated like so much vermin. Today, the Iranian mullahs and other Muslim countries still harbor dreams of destroying God's ancient, chosen, earthly people. And then there's the church, suffering severe persecution from Muslim, Hindu, and atheist governments all over the world. These rulers seem to think that they're in control, but Psalm 2 reminds us that reality is different than appearance. Now, as we continue our study in the book of Daniel, we've come to chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar was the powerful ruler of a world empire. He thought he was in control of his own destiny and the destiny of millions of others. But God humbled him in such a way that he confessed that Jehovah, the Most High God, rules in the kingdoms of men. So I've titled our study, The Most High Rules. Our text is Daniel chapter 4. Again, this is a lengthy chapter, so I'll only read the part of it that we can cover in the time we have today. Listen carefully as I read Daniel chapter 4 and verses 1 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." This text records a series of striking events that led King Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Most High rules. It's a truth that you and I and every human being must ultimately admit and embrace. The first event was a tranquil kingdom. In his early years as king, Nebuchadnezzar had been very active in military conquests. And as I mentioned previously, his kingdom stretched from Egypt to India. And those areas were conquered through difficult and brutal military campaigns. But now, in the latter half of his reign, his vast dominions were secure. The huge expenses of far-flung military campaigns were over. He had a vast inflow of tribute from conquered subjects, so he turned his attention and his resources to beautifying his kingdom, especially the city of Babylon. The Ishtar Gate was the main entrance into that great city, and it was a sight to behold. The gate was covered in lapis lazuli glazed bricks. Now, lapis lazuli is a deep blue metamorphic rock that was prized by the ancient peoples for its color. And those glazed bricks gave the facade a jewel-like shine. Alternating rows of lions, dragons, and bulls that represented powerful deities formed the processional way up toward the Ishtar Gate. These conveyed the message that Babylon was protected and defended by the gods, and one would be wise not to challenge them. The magnificent structure was dedicated to the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. And then the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They were Nebuchadnezzar's most amazing feat of engineering. He had them built for one of his wives. She was from ancient Media. That's in the northwestern part of what is now the country of Iran. And she missed the mountains of her homeland. So Nebuchadnezzar had mountains constructed on the roof of the royal palace and planted all kinds of trees and other plants on them. He even designed a hydraulic lift system to bring water from the Euphrates River to water the elevated gardens. That must have been an amazing sight. Nebuchadnezzar's realm was secure and it was prosperous. He was surrounded by the visible evidence of his wealth and power. And then the king had a dream. That dream becomes the basis for the second event that eventually led King Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Most High God rules. In retelling these events, the king sends the record of them to all peoples, languages, and nations. Now he's either boastfully arrogant, which the further picture of him in this chapter will show us, or he's using this as a way to just mean everyone in his kingdom. You and I most likely haven't had a dream like King Nebuchadnezzar. But we must understand that times of tranquility and prosperity can be dangerous to us. Remember Moses' warning to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6? He said, "When you get into the land that God has promised you, and you have all these things that the Lord has provided for you, when you're at ease and when your stomach is full, then watch out. Beware, because you will be tempted to forget the Lord your God. You will be tempted to think that it's your might and your ability that have provided these things for you." You know, that's a cogent warning for us today. The second event, then, that led Nebuchadnezzar to confess the Most High God rules was a terrifying dream. This is Nebuchadnezzar's second dream that's recorded for us in the book of Daniel. In the first dream, back in chapter 2, he couldn't even remember what the dream was, and he wanted his wise men and his counselors to tell him the dream and the interpretation. That dream led him to the conclusion that Daniel's God was a God of gods and a revealer of secrets. This time, he remembers the dream, and he's terrified. The original language is much stronger than our translation, "made me afraid." So imagine the king awaking, trembling from the dream, and then lying there on his bed, thinking about what he had experienced. None of my dreams have been like King Nebuchadnezzar's, but some have seemed so real that it has taken me quite a while afterward to calm down. Why was this dream so terrifying? Well, consider the earlier dream the king had about the unusual image. He was involved in that dream as the head of gold. Part of the interpretation was that the whole image, including the head of gold, would be destroyed and replaced by an everlasting kingdom. The king probably liked the idea of being the head of gold, but he didn't like the prophecy that a stone out of the mountain would destroy the image, would destroy his kingdom. That may be why, in chapter 3, he builds this huge image of himself, or at least of a figure that represents the power and might of his kingdom. He recognizes Daniel's ability to interpret dreams, but he doesn't necessarily like the interpretation. He's still not convinced that Daniel's God is sovereign, even though he acknowledges that Daniel's God is powerful. Nebuchadnezzar shares the specifics of the dream in verses 10 to 17. He sees a tree standing by itself, a tree so strong and that grew so high that it could be seen all over the earth. That was an extraordinary tree. The image of a tree representing a nation or a kingdom should be familiar to readers of Scripture. Jesus spoke of the nation of Israel as a fig tree in Matthew chapter 24. In Ezekiel chapter 31, Pharaoh and the king of Assyria are compared to a cedar of Lebanon. There are other numerous examples of this typology in Near Eastern literature as well. So here is this magnificent, extraordinary tree. The beasts of the field and the fowls of the air found protection in its branches and in the shadow that was cast by those branches. Its leaves were fair, and it produced so much fruit that the whole world was fed by it. But as the king observed the tree, a watcher, a holy one, comes down from the heavens. And this heavenly messenger even refers to himself with this language in verse 17. We would refer to him as being an angel. And the angel cries with a loud voice, literally cries with might, "Cut down the tree and cut off its branches. Shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Tell the beasts under it to go to another place, and tell the birds to fly away to a new home." Now, the record that we have doesn't state that this command is carried out, but it is certainly implied. But notice the special instructions given concerning the stump of this tree. The stump, with its roots, is to be left in the earth. No burning, no digging, no removal. The stump is to be bound or encircled with a band of iron and brass. What does that mean? Certainly that won't prevent the stump from rotting. It could signify the preservation of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, or it could signify the mental illness that would bind the king for seven seasons or times. and perhaps it signifies both. The stump is to be surrounded by the tender grass of the field and to be wet by the dew from heaven. Here, the King James Version changes from it, the stump, to him, the king. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. The Watcher states that the king would be given the heart of a beast instead of a man's heart. The duration of his madness would last until 7 times, or 7 periods of time, pass over him. The period is specific, though we're not sure exactly how long those time periods were. It would seem that years is logical, especially since Daniel uses the same terminology to refer to years later in the book. As he closes the recitation of this terrifying dream, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that the things he saw are decreed for a specific purpose. He says, God will do these things to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowest of men. Now it's up to Daniel to tell the king what the dream means. That leads us to the next event, which is the troubling interpretation. But that will need to wait until the next time when we come together here on the Voice of Hope. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast, and we still have quite a bit to learn from our text. So, Lord willing, we'll return to it next time on the Voice of Hope. Thank you, choir. Now, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Most High Rules. It's available on an audio CD or in print. And the easiest way for you to make a request is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to today's teaching at your convenience. That teaching is titled, The Most High Rules. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We love to hear from you, our listeners. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, by mail at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can partner with us. You can also listen to archived programming when you visit the website. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I'll look for you next week, friend. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in Daniel chapter 4, The Most High Rules. And until we meet again,
moonbeam shining, keep reminding of a trip that I'll be taking soon. There is nothing binding, I am pining for the journey that will take me over the moon.
I'm sailing soon
above the moon.
Soon be floating.